Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Nasdaq Dorsey Wright podcast for Monday, October 4th. My name is Will Gibson, and I'm joined this week by Sarah Maley. And today, our purpose is to give a short quarterly review of movements in the capital markets, and then maybe provide some guidance and things the way we see them heading into the last quarter of the year. Starting with some trends that we saw over the past quarter, we're going to start with a discussion on factors. So we saw growth represented by our Invesco S&P 500 pure growth proxy actually be the best performing factor last quarter, gaining about 4.5%. On the other end of the spectrum, we saw weakness from value, equal weight, low volatility, and dividend. And this is a point where we wanted to start today because momentum has been one of the worst performing factors broader this year. It did make up some ground last quarter. If you follow our Wednesday weekly updates, we have seen some improvement in our momentum spreads as those leaders are starting to regain some strength. But by and large, momentum has been a lagging factor so far in 2021. For the whole year thus far, so through the third quarter, value is so far the best performing factor, representative S&P 500 pure value ETF. Buyback is actually the second best performing factor now year to date, followed by equal weight. And then growth is about in the middle of the pack. Each of those outperforming the broad market, S&P 500, about 16% through trading on Friday, getting a notable pullback today, which we'll touch on in a little bit with Sarah and also towards the end of the discussion. But by and large, it was a recovery quarter for some of the underperforming factors. Do note that momentum was among the best performing over the past 4 years, this year towards the bottom, so perhaps a mean reversion there. But Sarah, maybe we'd give, apart from the factor side, just a rundown on some of the broad market funds, how they moved over the past quarter and where they sit right now.
Thanks, Will. So looking at the lineup that we cover in the major market ETF update that typically is posted in the Wednesday report, we cover a lineup of 10 major market ETFs in that section of the report, three of which are international. So that's going to be EFA, the Developed Markets Representative, EEM, or Emerging Markets Representative, and FM, which is a Frontier Markets Representative. And then we also look at QQQ, SPY, RSP, the DIA, IJH, IJR, as the seven US funds. So that's going to include small cap, mid cap, Dow, equal weight S&P, pure large caps or mega caps, with XLG, and then QQQ. But over the last quarter, we saw FM actually outperform the rest of the major market funds up a little bit over 2.1%. So 2.17 is where it ended out. So for year to date, we see that fund up a little over 19.5%. So it is the second best performing on a year to date basis so far. Interestingly enough, IJR, which was the worst performing in Q3 out of the U.S. lineup of major market ETFs, down a little over 3.3%, is still the best performing on a year-to-date basis. So that's up 21%, still outperforming QQQ, SPY, all of those other major market funds. So looking to the themes we saw from the U.S. space, as Will mentioned, growth being the best performing factor. We did see that play out with the major market ETF performance. XLG is at the top for the U.S. representatives. So that's the Invesco S&P 500 top 50 ETF. So that's looking at the top 50 stocks within the S&P 500. So that was able to gain 1.42%, followed by the Qs, which were up 1%, and then SPY, which was up about 0.25%. So interestingly enough, we're looking through the thumbnails, so looking just at their trend charts, I wanted to kind of go over some of their support levels today. We saw all but one or two charts, hit all-time highs in Q3. So that includes the Dow, that includes EFA matched a recent high. It did not surpass that, but came with a few points. FM still remains at 52-week highs, but did not hit a high. But we saw the IJH, so that's mid caps, and we saw the Qs, and we saw RSP and XLG and SPY all hit all-time highs on their trend charts. So we've seen those since pull back. Looking here at the Dow first, so symbol DIA, we saw that hit 355 in August and has since pulled back to 340. So from here, there is nice support at 335, one to watch there. But again, interestingly enough, since Friday, you know, October 1st, we've seen, you know, quite a sell-off on Friday and today through Monday. And we've only seen action on one of these charts, and that's going to be QQQ. We haven't seen any sort of action take place on any of these other charts. So nothing has been material enough at this point to cause any sort of X's or O's or change in charts. So EEM did hit support at 49.50. So it is sitting there at support on a buy signal or on a sell signal, one box from a second consecutive sell signal. We saw EFA, like I said, match its recent 52-week high. It came 4 points off of its all-time high from 2007. So we got really close, but weren't able to, you know, surpass that 82 level, which is now resistance that we're working with. But we've seen it pull back to 78. From here, there's nice support at 77, still in a positive trend on consecutive buy signals. And FM, which again was the best performing, is up on a significant stem. From here, we have support at 23. We are trading at multi-year highs here, but a significant stem with this year's rally. IJH, our mid-cap representative, has not seen any action actually in September or October. So it hit resistance at 275, its all-time high that was previously hit in April, trades on three consecutive buy signals, one box from a fourth consecutive buy signal, new all-time high, which would come at 280. We've pulled back here, or we have not pulled back, excuse me, but we have support now at 255 with additional support at 250. IJR, small cap representative, this hit an all-time high at 116 in June. We saw it pulled back to 104, which was a level of support test or created in March, and then reversed back up, was not able to get back to that 116 level, but was able to hit 114, and has since pulled back into O's at 108. So significant support at 104. We've just seen small caps here in terms of just the charting performance, you know, move sideways, where it's kind of consolidated on the chart since March. So from here, we'll watch for a potential three box reversal, but again, support sits at 104. Looking at QQQ, as I mentioned, QQQ and EEM now are the two that have actually added any X's or O's on their chart so far in October. Q's, after hitting an all-time high at 380, pulled back in September to 360. And then on Friday, we saw an O added at the 355 level, which if you look at that chart today, you'll see an A, it's red. That just tells us that it's the first movement of the month for that particular movement, X's or O's. And then looking at RSP hit an all-time high at 156 in August, pulled back in September, nice support at 146, has a really nice funds. We're here, 5.32, which is relatively strong looking at the rest of the lineup here. And then looking at SPY hit that all-time high in August at 450, has since pulled back to 430. And even with action over the past 2 days, we haven't seen any material enough movement on this chart to add any sort of X's or O's here. SPY, I do note that the fund score has fallen below 3, so it's 2.91. So not too far off of that 3 threshold, but that's one that we will also continue to monitor for further improvement or deterioration. And then finally, XLG hit an all-time high, just like with all the other large caps, in August at 345, in September, experience of three box reversal, remains on a buy signal from here, support at 285. So XLG has a 3.35 fund score, so interesting to see that kind of dispersion there between XLG and SPY. So again, those mega cap growth type names, you know, we really did see strengthen throughout Q3. So those are just support levels to watch. Again, interestingly enough, I think that we haven't really seen much action over the past 2 days, but you know, that's not to say that we won't see any, but we will continue to monitor those and you know, keep you up to date with any of those changes. And then looking just from a sector perspective, we saw some changes in DALI. We saw real estate move up to fourth, was the best performing or best, most improved sector in DALI over the third quarter. We also saw technology strengthen in terms of signal count. It remains in the second position. Cyclicals remain at the top, so remain a place to continue to overweight. And then we also saw energy just deteriorate. This signal count was significantly cut. It now sits at ninth, in the ninth position. And you know, we've seen just that sector swing back and forth. So definitely, one to underweight at this moment. But just in terms of pure price performance, we saw outperformance from financials up 2.29%, followed by technology up 1.12. So this was, Q3 numbers, they're not astronomical, but, it was nice to see some actually strengthen, because we did see some sectors take a hit. So industrials down a little over 4.4%, materials down 3.89%, XLE, again, energy down 3.3%. Consumer staples down 1.6, and XLC, communication services down 1.06. So those were the sectors that we saw underperform the broader market. Again, the SPY eked out a gain of 25 basis points. And so again, communication services, staples, energy, materials, and industrials all underperformed. But going in, again, looking at the Dolly rankings, I'm going to overweight cyclicals, overweight technology, just continue to focus on those top ranked sectors, and while avoiding or underweighting those at the bottom, such as utilities and energy.
Yeah, Sarah, great points. And the energy topic we were talking about before we hopped on the call is just mind-boggling to us. There's a lot of volatility right there. I know when looking through options, mentioned there's a lot of decent covered call opportunities in there because of the premiums. So that's something to consider. It is an underweight sector, as Sarah was saying right now. Broadly, there are some decent looking individual charts, so that is something to take a look at, perhaps covered call exposure or options as well, if possible. But now backing out a little broader here, I think a big theme that was a driver, or at least we can attribute a lot of the market movement to, whether it's major market, sector, asset class, has been the movement in yields. So US Treasury 10-year yield is something that we'll often track and keep note of on our research platform. This broke out notably at about 1.4%. It was a spread quintuple top breakout, also put it back into a positive point and figure trend. You saw that rally over 1.55%, most recently cooling off on Friday's action, so the first day of October. But the movement in yields has been decidedly upward lately, and the velocity of that has also been quite high. That's where we've attributed some of the pressure towards the growth names in the market, at least over the most or over the more recent short-term time period. Along with the upward movement in yields, you could kind of correlate that to some of the movements we've seen from the financial sector being one of the larger beneficiaries of that. And then also with the movement in yields, we've seen the US dollar continue to break out to the upside as well. The US dollar chart on our platform, DX/Y, that now trades on three consecutive point and figure buy signals on its trend chart. It actually just re-entered a positive point and figure trend at the end of September, so September 30th, that put it back into a positive trend for one of the first times in at least over a year now. Rising dollar can mean a variety of things for different asset classes, which we'll touch on later in our report should this trend continue. But the point about the rising dollar and 10-year yields is notable, because typically we'll see a paralleled movement from real yields and the US dollar. Real yields simply being nominal rates less inflation, which again has been a huge topic in FOMC meetings throughout the quarter. And with the movement in real yields higher and the movement of the US dollar pushing higher, perhaps that does give us some confirmation to both that the trend is decidedly upward for the time being. We actually previously mentioned this relationship. The US dollar was bumping up against resistance. It did break out of that. So both of those appear to be moving higher, and it could be something to consider for portfolios positioning them accordingly. We've already seen some relative strength shifts there. Along with the movements in yields and the dollar, we've also seen movements in the alternative assets or the commodities market that would somewhat correspond to that as well. One notable one being precious metals, one of the biggest underperformers over the past quarter in the alternative asset space. Looking at our continuous commodity matrix, they are among the bottom, actually 1, 2, 3, 4 at the dead bottom of the rankings right now. Base metal, so copper, for example, we also saw some weakness, but not as material as the precious metal side, being that there are some more economic implementations for copper use. And then on the top side, natural gas was the best performing by a landslide over the past quarter, up over 60%. There were some weather-related events that could be attributed to that, some continued supply shortages that can also be contributed there. But by and large, that has been roaring higher. It's been an overbought territory for pretty much the whole of the last quarter. Agriculture is a point of resilience in the commodities market. Not too hot, hasn't been overbought, but it has been a relative strength leader. And that's something that we've been following. So just a brief update that Sarah and I wanted to hit on today, very high level overview of sector movements, major market movements, asset class movements over the past quarter. We're going to be talking about this more in our coming reports and the coming podcasts. We'll go into a bit more detail on what we've seen and what we expect going forward. But by and large, the weight of the evidence is still for a risk on posture. Right now, we have domestic equities and commodities at the top of our relative strength rankings. And going forward, we would continue to position our portfolios accordingly. We did get a 5% pullback, which we'll digress on here, something that we've been watching for and many have been expecting for a long time. This still appears healthy under that broad umbrella of a general risk on posture. So looking for opportunities where we can to still be invested in the market. I'll go ahead and wrap us up and say thank you for giving us a listen or a watch. If you're on YouTube, we'll try to put as many charts into YouTube as possible to accompany what we're talking about. Sarah, thanks for having me on, and we hope to speak to you all soon.